Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazareth. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Praise the Lord. Are we on? Praise the Lord. This mic's not on. Check. Check, check, check. Good morning, Willard. Praise the Lord. Right? The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'd ask that you would pray and ask the Lord to restore to you the joy of your salvation. Right? It is because of Christ. It is because of what Jesus did for us on a cross 2,000 years ago that we can celebrate him right now in this place. What a greater way to start off this celebration. What an amazing way we get to celebrate Jesus in the city of Willard as the body of Christ gathered in this place this morning. See, this is what I love because this is what heaven's going to look like. I'm like, all right, let me help you out. This is what heaven will look like. And you need, and there's going to be others that don't look like us, that come from places around the world, but they're going to worship Jesus. And that's what we're here to do this morning. We're going to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the city of Willard. I want to take a second this morning because we're going to open in prayer. But before I do, I want to encourage you. See, this is something that we get to do. We don't have to do it. It's not a checklist on Sunday morning. We gather as a body of Christ to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We come to celebrate what he did on Monday last week and Tuesday last week. But we're also going to praise him for what he's about to do this week. Because, see, God is still in control of moving in our lives and in this city. And there's something that we need to understand. It's about all of us working together for the same cause, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ spread throughout our community. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes lives and transforms us. And we believe that that's what God has called us to do. If you're a follower of Jesus, God didn't call you to have a good life. He called you to follow him and tell others about him. And we get to come and together today to do this and worship Jesus in our community. And as a community, it matters that we work together as the body of Christ. I was so excited when I heard there's going to be a worship celebration starting off this. I'm not going to say the word because I'll mess it up, but the 150-year celebration. I think it's sesquicentennial, if I may be right. I'm not sure. But we get to do that, and we get to do it together as other believers in our community, and that's a big deal. And you know what? I said, yeah, I'm in. We're in, and here's why, because if we're going to be who we say we are, let's do it together, and let's take back this territory in the city of Willard for the gospel of Jesus. Let's win people into the kingdom, because Jesus died for them too, and he died for you, and we get to do this. So as we pray, I want us to realize we're doing this together, that look around you. There are people that you may not know, you may not see, and some of you may know each other, but you are a follower of Jesus. They're a brother and sister in Christ, and if they're not, we'll begin to pray, because God will lead them to that anyway, because Jesus gave himself for them as well. And but I would encourage you to look around. And when you see each other, pray for one another. And in fact, this morning, I want to do something. I want to pray something. The Lord was speaking to me about this. And I said, here's what we're going to pray. We're going to pray. It's called the Prayer of Jabez. And I think it matters. Because in case you didn't know, we're in the middle of a really tough battle in our world right now. And there's a lot going on in our city. A lot of harm being done. We love our people. Because Jesus loves them, and we're followers of Jesus. In fact, that's why I believe it's important that we pray. And before we pray into this prayer, I want to remind you, you see this right here? There's a prayer wall. What is that there for? Great question. We believe in the power of prayer. Prayer is our greatest weapon against the enemy. Prayer is where we take to the one who can do something about it, and that's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The one who can do something about your problem. The one that can do something about your addiction. The one that can do something about your pain. The one that can do something about your disease, your sickness, and your lostness. So we would encourage you, and those prayer requests, you see those sticky notes. There's a sticky. There's post-it notes right there. Write on. Put them on. Those get prayed for all the time. There are people constantly praying, and we try not to take anything off the prayer wall unless it's been answered, because we believe we continue to pray, right? The prayers of a righteous man, the fervent prayers, they avail much. We're going to keep praying. Also, our Gideons are here, and we want to recognize them, because I think that's very important. They're handing out Bibles, and they're doing this. Look, what a ministry, because the Word of God, right? It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God being proclaimed. How are people going to know if they don't hear, right? And how are they going to hear if we don't tell them? But we got to give them the Word of God, amen? And I'm so honored that you guys are here with us this morning. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And as I'm praying this prayer for you, I'm going to ask you to keep this in mind, to pray this every day. Pray this for our community. Pray this for our churches. Pray this for our church leaders. Pray that for this for the person who is in your next to you. And pray, because this is where we're going to pray this prayer, and here's why. I believe when we begin to pray for one another and we get serious and we're intentional and directional in our prayers, God begins to show up in big ways. So here's what I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. Father, I ask you this morning as we come together in this city plaza, that we gather as your sons and daughters, Lord, and we come to worship you and give you praise. Lord, I just ask this morning that you would bless us, that you would bless the churches in this community, would bless the people in this community, that you would pour out your blessings upon them, Lord. And Lord, not only that, but you would enlarge their borders, that you would increase their influence, that you would increase the influence of every follower of Jesus in this community, increase the influence of the churches in this community as we push back the darkness, Lord, as we take back the territory that the enemy has stolen. Lord, I ask for you to put your hand upon us, Lord. Let your hand be with us, Lord. Let the anointing of your Holy Spirit be with us, Lord. Lord, that you would be with us wherever we go, wherever we step foot, God, as we take back the things that the enemy has stolen from the lives of the people. Lord, we ask that you would keep us from harm, Lord, so that it would not bring us pain. Lord, that you would protect us, Lord. Lord, that you would bring a hedge of protection around the churches and around the people in this community, Lord. We know the enemy has tried to cause pain and hurt. And Father, I ask right now that you would help us, Lord. But also, Lord, help us to remember that we are one in you. That, Father, that we are the body of Christ. And Lord, help us to lift one another up, support one another, and cheer one another on. Because, Father, we all have one goal and one purpose. And that's to see people know you. So help us with that. And today, Lord, I ask for a special blessing upon this service in this place. We ask this in the mighty and precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Love is mighty and so much stronger. Never ending. You that I adore, if it cost me everything. outside, it's about 10 degrees cooler up here on this stage. I've been out there suffering with you, worshiping, but what a great job the worship team did in leading us before the Lord this morning. My name is Bart McKelvey. I've been a pastor in this community for 29 years, and I have the distinct privilege of leading you in reading God's Word this morning. And we're going to read responsively, which means you're going to be participating, all right? Right after the bell. Believe it or not, that was planned. The bell was a little late. We're going to read responsively from Psalm 118 and Psalm 136, and you've got one line. His faithful love endures forever. All right? Think you can do that? We're going to have a practice. On the count of three, you're going to say, His faithful love endures forever. One, two, three. All right, now, folks, I'm going to do my part. You need to do your part, and don't give out on me. All right, you got to stay with me strong the whole way. All right, we're going to proclaim God's word this morning to the heavens. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To Him who alone does great wonders, who by His understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and stars to govern the night. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Let Israel say, let the house of Aaron say, let those who fear the Lord say, and in this 150th year celebration of our community, let the city of Willard say, His faithful love endures forever. Amen. And it is my privilege to invite for the message this morning a good friend and brother, James Pomerich.
What a privilege. As was already spoken, I just wanted to take a minute and thank Bryson Hammonds. I know he's not asking for that thanks, but we had this awesome opportunity just to praise and worship God in downtown Willard, and I'm grateful for that. I saw council members here. Council members invite pastors to pray before the council meetings, and I just love that fact about our community. If you have a Bible, would you turn to Exodus chapter 20. The title of this message is Impacting Generations. I'm a transplant to Willard, and I was thinking of all the generations that have lived in this city and the impact that they have had over the last 150 years. My family moved here in the sixth grade from a small town called Chicago, Illinois. If you know where O'Hare Airport is, I literally lived right next door to that in a place of a bunch of trailers that were right there. And when the planes would take off and go overhead, we had to stop what we were doing. The trailer would shake. If you were on a phone call, you'd have to tell them to wait a minute for that plane to go by. Well, we moved here to kind of get a fresh start. My family was looking for it. My dad struggled with alcohol and drugs for a good portion of his life. It started when he was a kid. He experienced some tough things being a kid. He went to Vietnam and I think fell into that addiction even more there. He would often go out drinking. He would go out on these binges where he would be gone for days. He would get his paycheck and we wouldn't see him. As a result, he burned a lot of bridges with employers, as you can imagine. We often had financial issues. My parents, because of this, thought that if they could get away, it would help. If they could change their environment, maybe it would help. So we moved to Willard. My mom's sister lived out here. My mom's parents had moved here previously. It was a bit of a culture shock at first. I remember driving around in the city when we first got here, and I saw a person chasing the largest rat I had ever seen. That rat was this big and about that big around, right? I later learned it was a groundhog. We didn't know about groundhogs in where I was at in Illinois. As we were driving around looking at everything, I remember something very strange happened. As we would go by, there would be people sitting out and people on the street corners, and the people would actually wave to you. And I just thought that was the weirdest thing. Where I lived, you didn't wave to anybody. That was kind of a dangerous thing. But that's the community, and we fell in love with it, right? And it was good. It was good for a while. But then my dad started drinking again. And the same issues that we had in Chicago followed us here. The thing that plagued my dad also plagued his family. His dad drank. His mom, my grandmother, overdosed on drugs and died. His sister's husband overdosed and died. His sister, who drank a lot, overdosed and died. I had a cousin that I grew up with. I loved this lady named Leah, and I'm praying for her right now because we don't even know where she is. Drugs and alcohol have dragged her to the streets, and she's lost right now. If you remember her, say a prayer for her. A beautiful woman, lost. My sister called me several years back on Easter, and she told me that she found my dad dead. He had literally drank himself to death. They found cases and cases of opened and drank beer and cases that weren't open. Alcohol and drugs have destroyed generations of my family. And I know that I'm not alone, right? It's something that plagues our community, plagues every community. And even if you haven't experienced what I have, maybe you've dealt with other things that have been passed down from family members. These bad habits, these addictions are what we refer to as generational sins. And what I've learned is they're really not, they're generational sins, but they're really generational idols. Because these are the things that we look to for peace. We'll turn to alcohol to forget, to find that peace, right? We look to things to fulfill us. We have this idea that money will fix all of our problems and make us happy, right? Sometimes people run to other people. Sometimes women run to men thinking that this one person will solve every problem that they have and will complete them. What we find out, though, is they never do, right? Those bank accounts are never enough. Those people are just never enough. We're always disappointed. There's a promise in God's word that speaks to this, that addresses generations, and it's found at the beginning of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. If you're able to, would you just stand in honor of God's word? Or if you're not able to, take a heart posture, right? Exodus 20, beginning at verse 1. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything, in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that it would be a foundation that we would build our lives upon. Lord, I pray that there is anything out of whack in our lives that does not line up with your word, that we would surrender our lives to you and to it. Father, may it be a light unto our path. Lord, I pray that you would soften our hearts, open our eyes and ears so that we can take it in deep, Lord. I pray that you would use it to transform us, that you would use it to call us. Lord, I pray that today, if there's bondages in place, that they would be broken in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Father, if there's generational sins, if there's generational curses, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that they would be removed. Lord, we love you, and we give you all honor and praise. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Did you catch the amazing promises there? The obvious one at the end talks about God's love. His blessings are shown to 1,000 generations for those who love him and keep his commands. What an amazing gift. What an amazing gift that we can pass down to future generations, right? Did you catch the promise right before that, though? Don't bow down to these other idols. If we do, he says he will punish to the third and fourth generations those who hate him. At first glance, that doesn't seem like a good promise. It makes sense, right? If we reject God, if we replace God with some other idol or some other thing, we invite his wrath. He is a jealous God. But I want to show you today that there is a hidden blessing in there. This is something that my family has experienced and something that I just praise him for. I want to point out this good thing by looking at some families in his word. We have a great blessing to see generations and what God does through those generations, right? What God does for them, what God does through them, and what God does even for the communities that they belong to. God is a generational God. That's who he is. That's how he refers to himself. Do you remember when Moses has an encounter with God at the burning bush? He introduces himself as, I am who I am, right? Or I will be who I will be. Right after that, in Exodus 3:15, he says these words. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, right? The God of generations, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. He's the God of generations. In these three men he lists, there is a great blessing that we all know about that is passed down through Jesus Christ, right? But there is also a generational sin that's also passed down. In Genesis chapter 26, we see an episode from the life of Abraham's son Isaac. There was a famine in the land, like in the days of his father Abraham. Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. This is where the Lord told him to go, and this is where God gives him the promise to make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, right? God tells him that all people will be blessed through his offspring, and he promises to give them the land that they're in, so he stays there. But then something happens. Something always happens, right? Genesis 26:7. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." Because he was afraid to say, she is my wife. He thought the men of this place might kill me on account of Rebekah because she is beautiful. Isaac ends up lying, right? Isaac ends up deceiving. Now, Isaac and Rebekah live there for a long time, and the king ends up discovering the truth and confronts him about it. He asks him, why did you do this, right? Do you realize what could have happened? You could have brought great guilt upon us. Here's the thing. Isaac did exactly what he saw his father Abraham do. If you look at Genesis 12, you can actually see the origin of what he did. Genesis 12:10. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see us, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but let you live. Say, 'You are my sister,' so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you." Same thing, right? Pharaoh ends up taking Sarah into his palace, and God inflicts on him a serious disease, and he ends up discovering Abraham's deception. Same sin that he passed down to his son Isaac. Parents, we pass down habits to our kids. If you have a kid, you know this is true, right? You learn that really fast. You learn to watch what words you say. I remember thinking STUPID was not a bad word, right? Until I heard my 3-year-old use that same word. That opens your eyes. They're like little mirrors. They're like little copycats of us. And when you see your kids doing what you do and what you've done, you see everything in a whole new light, right? Sins can be passed down from generation to generation, as we saw. Oftentimes, these sins come out in times where we face crisis, right? There was a famine in the land both times, and it caused them to have to move. Stress-filled situations bring dysfunction to the surface. The thing that was passed down to Isaac was brought out in a time of stress. He reacts as his father did. He seeks to deceive like his father did. Peter Scazzaro put it this way: Jesus is in your heart, but your grandpa is in your bones. All of us carry things inadvertently that in crisis, that in stressful times can come to the surface. And we have to realize that there are generational things at play. They can be good. They can be amazing, right? Like turning to God's word. But sometimes they're bad. What's been passed down to you? What's your family history? And maybe more importantly, what are you passing down to those that go after you, to those that you have relationships with? David was an amazing man, great king, not so great father though, right? David was told after his adulterous affair with Bathsheba and the murder that he thought would cover it up, he was told that as a consequence, the sword should not depart from your house. David was forgiven, right? We see an amazing thing of repentance in Psalm 51. Forgiven, but his family entered into this time of sowing and reaping. And that time caused so much pain. When you look at David's family, you see a brother who takes advantage of a sister. You see another brother who ends up killing that brother who did that, right? You see that brother is exiled. You see that brother comes back and ends up stealing the kingdom from David, and he does horrible things. You and I need to realize that not only does the word say that we reap what we sow, but also our kids reap what we sow. We need to be very aware of this. Again, that can be good. That can be great. We can be people of prayer, right? We can teach our kids to pray. Abraham, though, lies about his wife, but God delivers him. I'm sure he told the story to Isaac. I'm sure that he told him of God's deliverance and how he helped him out of that. But Isaac does the same thing, and he knew better. He had heard the story, and yet he deceives like his father did. What about Isaac's sons, right? Isaac had twins, Jacob and Esau. Jacob's life, we know, right, is full of deception. Jacob's name is tied to deceiver. He steals his brother's birthright. After that, he puts on his brother's clothes. He puts on animal fur so that he could appear to be hairy like his brother. And then he goes to his father, who could not see very well at that time, and pretends to be his brother so that he could steal the blessing. Then what happens to Jacob? Well, he gets deceived himself at a wedding. His father-in-law swaps out his bride, and he ends up marrying her sister, right? Do you see what sin does? Do you see how sin is passed down and how it just ripples and gets bigger and bigger? What it never stays contained. It never does. There's always collateral damage. There's always impact. There's always consequences that go far beyond us. What happens with Jacob's sons? Do you remember 10 of them? 10 of them deceived their father and tell them that the 11th brother, right, was killed by a wild animal. Sin continues. My friends, please don't underestimate sin. God told Cain in Genesis 4:7, sin is crouching at the door and it desires to have you, right? Sin is crouching. It's trying to appear small. It's trying to appear insignificant, but it desires to rule over you. It desires to destroy you. It desires to drag you to hell. Don't think sin is small. Don't play around with it. I know what you're thinking. This is a great community worship message, right? I just know, as a pastor, and even not as a pastor, I see the destruction that sin has on families in this community and in every community, right? Here's the amazing thing, though. Physics tells us that forces continue until they're disruptive. A body in motion tends to stay in motion until acted upon by an outside force. Newton's first law. Hopefully I got that right. We could be headed in a direction, though, following in our family's footsteps. And I'm here to tell you that there is a force that will interrupt that, right? And I'm here to tell you that force has a name, and that name is the name above all names. That name is the name of Jesus Christ, right? These forces, the ones that have been passed down to you, will rule over your life until you surrender to the one who died for you, to the one who breaks bondages, to the one who frees you from the power of sin, to the one who conquered death, right? God is always trying to call generations from sin. The word tells us that he always provides us a way out so that we don't have to sin. It is a choice, right? We don't have to follow in our footsteps, our parents' footsteps. Yes, tendencies are passed down, but they're still our choice to act on them, right? And if we know the one who conquered sin and death, we have freedom. We always have that choice. Not only that, but I want to go back to that blessing, that weird blessing that I told you about back in Exodus 20, verse 5. The part that said, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Sin is always our choice, so we are deserving of God's punishment when we choose to sin. But notice that God says, I'll punish it to the third and fourth generation. Do you see what he's doing there? He's putting a limit on it. He's putting a limit on what sin is allowed to do. We may be headed in one direction, a similar direction to that of our parents, but God says, I'm not going to let you keep heading in that direction. I'm going to limit it. I'm going to call you from that path, right? I'm going to break its grip on your life. I will find a way. I will find a way to disrupt this generational pattern. God is actively looking for someone to draw a line in the sand, someone to stand on the authority of his word, somebody with the power of the Holy Spirit to end curses that have been passed down through generations. He's calling us. He's reaching out to us to be the generation where generational curses end. He's not going to let it go past the third and fourth generation because he loves us too much. You may hate him, but he will raise someone up to call you out of that. Why? Because he loves you. He wants you to experience the love that he has. He wants you to experience the freedom that he offers, right? He wants that to be passed down to 1,000 generations after you. God is scanning the earth, looking for a remnant, looking for a people to call in a community, right? Looking for a Joseph. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and who comes next? Joseph, right? Fourth generation. Joseph was handed the family script, right? Handed a whole mess of generational deception. His brothers sell him into slavery, right? While in slavery, his master's wife tries to seduce him, but he draws a line in the sand and says, no, I will not do that, right? And what's his reward? He's falsely accused. and thrown into prison. What happens when he's thrown into prison? He does the best that he can, right? An innocent man impacted by deception wouldn't go down a path, though. And in prison, he helps people, right? And what's his reward for helping people? Well, one of those people forgot about him again for a time. But he stays true to who God called him to be. He stays true to that line that was drawn in the sand. This man didn't let his family history be an excuse to sin. That's what we do, right? We blame God. Well, God, you let this happen to me. Look at it. I might as well just go along with it. But not Joseph, right? He did the right thing, and God elevated him. Do you remember when he was elevated? Right before a famine would hit that country, that region. Famine in Abraham's time, and Abraham deceived. Famine in Isaac's time, and Isaac deceived. Famine in Joseph's time, and Joseph was deceived, but he did not sin. And what happened as a result of that? An entire region was blessed. Future generations, right? Not only for him, but for his family were blessed. Alcohol, drugs, suicide ran deep in my family until my mom had her life flipped upside down by Jesus Christ. God collided with her and called her out of that. She drew a line in the sand and said, as for me and my house, right, we will serve the Lord. As a single mom, she used to read the Bible to me morning at breakfast and at night at dinner. She worked a job as well. But morning and night, we read through the Word of God for years. And then she made me do it after she was done. It was time to pass that baton. I don't know how many times as a result that I've been cover to cover through the Word of God. But my friends, that blessing now continues in my family. And what a beautiful thing that is. What a foundation, right, to build a life upon. I see how God limited that generational sin, right? I don't know if we're the third or the fourth generation, but I see what God did. I see how he broke it. I see how it's going to be a benefit to future generations. Who knows what reach it will have, right? All because God cared enough to come down. All because God was willing to take our place on the cross. All because he calls out to us, right? He calls us to surrender our lives to him. Today, what sins are you messing around with? What are you doing, right? Can I invite you back on the narrow path? Can I invite you to repent of those sins and turn your life over to him? Can I remind you that you are choosing either blessings or curses, not only for you, but for future generations? Can I tell you, he's searching for a remnant, searching for somebody to wreck their life, to flip their life upside down in the best possible way. My friends, the world has nothing for you. Whatever you're turning to in place of that, it will never satisfy you. My friends, you could be a Joseph, right? Even though terrible things have been done to you again and again, you could be the one that God works through to end generational sins. You could be the one that God uses to bless a community, right? Or a thousand generations. Like Joseph, it's going to be a hard path. There will be ups and downs, right? Times where you don't know what God is doing. But can I encourage you to stay faithful, right? My friends, you don't have to walk it alone, right? God gives us community. God gives us churches that can be a family to you. There are churches that would love and be honored to walk with you on this journey of grace. And my friends, he'll walk with you too, every step of the way. Ricky is going to come in a minute, but I want you to know that there are people that would be honored here to pray for you today. Hit that wall, right? Talk to those people. Let somebody lay hands on you and pray for you. Especially if you're dealing with something, especially if something has a hold of you. We'd love to. We'd be honored to you. Get plugged into a church if you aren't. Go to your church. right? Every week, every time the doors are open, if you are a part of one, God gives us that community to walk that narrow road. You need it, right? Don't miss it. I'm tired. I'm tired of hearing about another person that overdosed in our community. I'm tired of hearing about another young person who committed suicide. It has to end, right? We can be a part of that. I'm tired of families being broken up by drugs and alcohol. I'm tired of young ladies cutting themselves because they want to feel something. I'm tired of people just being numb to everything. My friends, let the church rise up, right? Let us not be churches that just meet and have social gatherings. Let us be the church that goes out into the world, into the darkness, right? Let us join with other churches, other believers, other brothers and sisters in Christ, and have an impact on this community. It has to start with us, and it can't start until we find freedom from the sins that we've already been in bondage to. That's what Jesus offers, though. You can find that. I want to ask you, make that determination today to seek his forgiveness, to repent, to not touch that thing again, whatever it is. I want to encourage you to grab a brother and sister in Christ and let them know what you're dealing with and ask them to pray for you. Go to the wall, put something on there, and let them pray for you, right? Don't fight this battle alone. You weren't meant to do it that way. He created us for community. And that's a beautiful thing. Amen?
Well, praise the Lord. When Pastor James told me what he was going to speak about, I instantly was excited because that's a message for everyone. Whether or not you have a relationship with Jesus Christ or whether you've been a Christian for 50 years, there's something in your life that you're struggling with and dealing with. And the good news is today is your day, the Bible says. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, send now prosperity, save now, God. I think a lot of times when we're praying and believing for things, we're like, down the road, God will answer. Well, eventually, yes, I know the Bible that there is a time and a season. Yes, I know that there are periods of waiting, and I know that God has a plan and an appointed time for everything. But oftentimes, I think that God is waiting on you. God is waiting on you to take a step of faith. With what was so powerful with what Pastor James was saying is that God says that he wants to deliver you, that he wants to set you free. And the Bible puts it like this. Jesus says this. He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much greater does our Heavenly Father give good things to them that what? That ask him, right? So think of it like this. I know most of you, the majority of you, and you are absolutely wonderful parents. You love your kids, you love your grandkids, and you would do anything for them, right? Now, God says that he is even that much better, that he's that even that much greater. So God is willing. So it's not a matter of God's willingness. And this is one of my pet peeves in the Christian faith is it God's will? Well, God clearly showed you his will. Pastor James clearly showed you the plan of God. God's plan is found in John 10:10. For he come to giveth you life and life more abundantly. That doesn't mean that God is some genie and you rub him the right way and he grants you three wishes. That doesn't mean you're going to have a Lamborghini and have a $1 million home and you're going to take your soul at ease. That's not what the Bible is saying. But the Bible does say that he plans to bless you. He plans to heal you. He plans to deliver you. He plans to set you free. And now is the time to receive it. See, once you understand this about God, that he's already done everything he's going to do. Now, wait a minute. You're saying, wait, what do you mean he's done everything? Jesus Christ, every time you sin, does not go back to the cross and die again and shed his blood again. When you need a healing touch, Jesus Christ does not take stripes again so that you can be healed. You don't get a cold or a sinus infection here in northern Ohio, and Jesus Christ take more stripes so that you can be made whole. He's already done that. So if God's already done that, if he's already has accomplished everything, then why sometimes are we not our prayers not being answered? Why are we not being blessed? It's because of a simple fact that we are not receiving. God is a God of receiving. Everything that God does is by the grace, and it is the gift of God. So God plans all these things, accomplished everything, but you have to receive it. And oftentimes I find that we don't receive it because of different reasons. We might not receive it because of doubt, fear, or worry. We might not receive it because of the generational curses that Pastor James spoke about, which is a real thing. If you find yourself struggling with anxiety, with fear, with worry, with depression, with suicide, with pornography, with alcoholism, with any form of addiction, I could go on and on and on. Those are forms of curses. Those are things that are hindering you and trying to stop the plan of God in your life. But now is the time to be set free. Now's the time as Christians for us to stand up and declare the goodness of God. And God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to have joy of the Lord. He wants you to have the peace that passes all understanding. Why? Can you be a witness and a light for Jesus Christ if you say, woe is me, how awful my life is, life is just horrible, I'm barely getting by, all the devil's after me and he's attacking me, what am I going to do? That is not who you are in Christ. God says that you are the head and not the tail, that you are to be the victor, that God has plans to bless you and take care of you. That famous scripture in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. And God says those plans are good plans. But you have to receive it. Not down the road. Not eventually. Not in time. But now, God says. Open up your Bibles and read Matthew chapter 24 when you get home, and you'll see we're living in the last days. And God promised in Acts 2:17 that he would pour out his spirit upon you in these last days. Turn on your television, turn on social media, and read Matthew 24, and you'll see that you are living in biblical times. And now is the time to be set free. Now is the time to be made whole. And I quickly will come to an end, but I want to share this scripture that goes perfectly with what Pastor James was saying. Pastor James, your message was powerful. And here's what it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why did Jesus Christ choose to die the death of a tree, the death of a cross? Because it says, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Jesus chose willingly to give his life. And he could have given his life anytime, any way that he wanted. But he chose a tree because cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. What does that mean? Jesus took the curse for you. He took it so you don't have to have it. So you don't have to have the worry and the fear and the anxiety. So you don't have to have all the things that bind you and hold you down and the weights that you carry. Jesus took it all. All you have to do is receive it. This past week, I was reminded of how much God cares about all the little things that matter to me. Do you know that God cares about all the big things, but he cares about those things that you care about? That's why it says in 1 Peter to cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I was reminded that this year has been a busy year in ministry. We've been to 3 countries and 8 states. And recently I was out of the country, and I've learned to be a pro packer. I know how to pack everything and where to pack it, and I know where everything's at. And on my one that I send over oftentimes, I'll just say it like this. It has my undergarments in it. It has my socks and underwear, okay? So that way if I lose that piece of luggage, no big deal. I can go without socks and underwear. Now, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about, okay? But I didn't really want to do that. But sure enough, I'm getting ready to go to a foreign country, and my bag does not arrive. And I'm like, oh, no. And I'm pacing a little bit, sweating a little bit. I'm like, 7 days without socks and undergarments, that's a long time. I've done a day or two, but 7 days I don't know about. So I said, I'm going to pray because I'd really like to have that bag. But now, did I need that bag? No. It's just socks and underwear. You can live without that. But I thought, God, I still like to have that bag. So I went and checked with the airline. I went and checked with the company. There's no bag. All bags have been delivered, Ricky. There's no bag, and your bag didn't make it. And I prayed. I said, oh, Lord, I still would like to have that. There it went in, all the bags. Hours later, I go to my place where I was staying, and there was my luggage. There was my socks and underwear. I never praised the Lord so much in my life for that bag arrived. But I'm saying to you how stupid it is. I use that word right there. Is that okay in this case? How stupid that is about socks and underwear. But God cares about the littlest, minutest, dumbest things. If you care about it, God cares about it. On the flip side, I've seen God heal brain tumors. I've seen God set people free of demonic forces. I've seen God heal lung cancer. So God cares about all those big things, but he cares about the little things also. So I want you to know, you don't have to think that your problem is insignificant or it doesn't really matter and we've done this. How many of you have done this? God, if you take care of this, I'll live with this. When God says, how about if I take care of it all? How about if I set you free of it all? So I want you to think here as we close. What thing in your life has hindered you? What thing in your family lineage has had you bound? I'll tell you mine that I've always struggled with. Anxiety and worry. For some reason, I think everyone has, this is my opinion, I think everyone has something that they particularly struggle with or have a hard time overcoming, to be honest with you. And for some reason, that has always been mine. You have yours. You have the thing that no one else knows about, but you know what it is. And I'm privileged and honored to say through Jesus Christ, I have done a million times better. But I'll be honest with you, that there are still times that I struggle with that. There are still times that I fall off the wagon, so to speak, and I have to go back to the Lord and say, God, I need your help again. And I think that's our human nature. But the good news is I know that he has set me free. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. He can set you free. But I want you to understand that being set free and being forgiven, being a Christian, doesn't mean that you're perfect. Doesn't mean that you can walk on water. It means that you're forgiven. And as a minister, we all need forgiveness. Not everyone every time thinks of a television minister, they always think of adultery and financial scandals. Don't worry, I don't have any of those, thank God. But I do have that worry sometimes that plagues me. And I do have those things that bind me. And I fight the battles just like you fight the battles. But let me give you the secret. It is Jesus Christ. I am not against hospitals. I'm not against doctors. I'm not against nurses. I'm not against counselors. There's nothing wrong with taking medications. But sometimes, there's no answer except Jesus Christ. And I always say if God can use doctors and nurses and medication. But my point is you have to go to Jesus to be set free. So I want you to think about the thing in your life. And I don't know if Adavi or someone would like to come up and play piano or something. But I want you to think about the thing in your life that's been hindering you. I don't care how big it is or how small it is. He's a big enough God to take care of it all. And I want us here today to give it to the Lord. You know that faith is made up of two parts. Faith is made up of your belief system, and it's made up of your actions. That's why Paul said faith without works is dead. You receive salvation. You didn't do anything to deserve it. It's a gift, and you believe it, and you receive it. Then after you're a Christian, you must have faith with works. And so I know that I'm preaching to the choir here this morning. A lot of you are the choir. I know that. But now it's time for action. How many of you believe that God can set you free once and for all? How many believe in Jesus Christ? So I'm preaching to the choir. I know, so you have the belief, but now it's time for the action. You have to put the two together. And Pastor James did a wonderful job on that groundwork. I love that message. How he showed you that generations will keep going. But sin has its limits. Amen? I like that. I'm going to steal that and use that if that's okay. Sin has its limits. And now it's time to put the limit on it through Jesus Christ. That's why he purposely chose a cross. Not by accident. Not by coincidence. And that's why you're here. Today's your day. Let's get set free. We're going to hear in just a moment. Anyone that would like prayer, we're going to invite you up to pray. We're going to pray over our prayer wall. We're going to believe as a community, and we're going to stand in faith, and we're going to take a step of faith. Would you mind standing for just a moment? Something I always like to do at the end of services, and this is kind of my favorite part, and I can't thank Pastor James and Bryson and the city of Willard and all of you for this opportunity to be in front of my hometown. I love all of you. But I want us to make sure that we're right with God in every single way. And we do that by dedicating our life to Jesus Christ. If you're already a Christian, I still ask you to rededicate your life. But if this is your first time accepting Jesus, today's your day. It's not tomorrow, not down the road. You come to God just as you are. Don't let the devil lie to you and say, once you get this straight and that straight, then you can get right with God. God says, come to him just as you are. That's why Billy Graham ended every crusade with just as I am. You come to God just as you are. All your flaws, all your failures, all your shortcomings, and you let Jesus clean you up. That's the answer. You don't need another doctor, another pill, another appointment. You need Jesus Christ to set you free. And he can. And the good news is, he will. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I ask you to pray this prayer out loud with me. And then I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith. Don't worry, I'm not going to call you out, point my finger at you, and make you feel uncomfortable. That's not my plan or my goal. But I want you to take a step of faith in just a moment. But first, would you pray this prayer with me that comes from Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that says that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. Would you pray this out loud after me? Dear Heavenly Father, I confess and I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and on the third day, you raised him from the dead. And I confess and I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. And I invite Jesus into my heart and to my life. And I ask you, God, to forgive me of all my sins. And I forgive everyone. And I ask you to save me, help me, change me, and give me a home in heaven. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you to think the thing that you have been struggling with, the stronghold. The curse has been broken through Jesus Christ. It's already accomplished, and now we just have to receive it. But that thing that just hinders you, I'm going to ask you for just a moment to think. And there might be a few things that you have that you want to get rid of. I'm just thinking of the things that I want to give to God. In the kingdom of God, there's no big I's or little U's. We're all servants of the Lord. That's what a minister is. It's a servant. James has things that he's dealing with. I have things I'm dealing with. Every one of us has things that we're dealing with. So I'm going to ask you in your right hand to take all of those things symbolically and lift it up to God. All your worries, all your fears, all your depression, all your anxiety, whether it be addiction, whatever form of addiction it might be, whatever thing that just seems to be holding you back. And we're going to hold it up to God. And I want you to close your fist. It's yours right now. But here in just a moment, we're going to release it to Him. Symbolically. Dear Heavenly Father, God, as we are holding all the things, Father God, that besets us, that weighs us down, that holds us back, that's holding our homes back, that's holding our community back, that's holding us back from doing Your work and Your will. God, we hold it all right now. Lord, we admit our shortcomings. We admit, Father God, that if You don't do it, it won't be done. God, we admit, Father God, that we can't overcome it on our own accord or our own power. God, we've tried. God, we've tried and we've tried and we've tried. And God, we failed and we failed and we failed. God, we can't do it, Father. God, we humble ourselves knowing, Father God, that we're weak. But God, You said that You would be strong when we are weak. God, You said that You would give us strength, Father God. So, Lord, all these things we are holding right now. And right now, through the power of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, who took our curses, who took our punishment, who took our stripes that we might be healed, who said that He would set us free, who said He would make us a new creature in Him, who said He would bring us victory and healing and deliverance and salvation, who said He would make a way where there seemeth to be no way, who said He would answer prayers, we release it and we give it to You. Now just lift up holy hands before God. God, look at our hands. It's empty, God. Oh, Father God, I feel that presence this morning, Father. Lord, if You're not speaking to anyone else, You're speaking to me this morning, God. Lord, I lift up holy hands because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Look at my palms, God. There's nothing in it. I don't have it anymore, God. God, we've given it to You, God. God, we don't want it, God, anymore. God, if You don't set us free, God, we won't be set free. God, if You don't make a way, it won't happen. Father God, I ask You, Lord, to break all those curses, to break all those strongholds. I bind and I rebuke every devil, every demon, everything that would try to hinder us, that would try to hold us back, that would try to bring back garbage, that would try to trick us, deceive us, lie to us. I bind and rebuke it all and command it all to leave in the authority of Jesus Christ, knowing that You said in Matthew 18 that whatsoever we bind shall be bound, and I bind it in the name of Jesus. And now, Father God, You see our hands are empty. And now, God, we grab that person's hand beside us. You can grab their shoulder, whatever it is you feel comfortable grabbing. And God, You said in Matthew 18, also You said, Father, that if we're two or more agree touching anything, it would happen. And now we're going to pray for our community. God, we're going to believe that You can do all things. God, You told us, God, no matter how small or how big our prayers are, Father God, it matters to You. God, You've seen the ups and downs of our community, but here we are 150 years later. And God, we started this celebration with You. And God, we declare You the Lord and Savior of Willard. God, we declare You the Waymaker. God, we declare You, Father God, that have Your will and have Your way with our community, with our churches, with our people, with our lives. Have Your will and have Your way. So, Father, we agree right now in harmony. We ask You, God, to bless the city of Willard. God, we ask You to bless our community. Put a hedge of protection around it, God. Lord, put the angels of the Lord around our city, God, because You said the angels of the Lord encampeth around them that fear You. God, You said, Father God, if we would agree, You would do it. So here we are agreeing. We ask You, God, to bless our city spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially. Whatever it is that we have need of, God, we ask You, God, to make a way where there seemeth to be no way. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? I want to say again, I can't say enough again, how thankful and grateful I am to Pastor James for having that message. Soon as he said that, what he was going to speak to me, when he said what the Lord laid on his heart, that just went right through me, and I just knew that God was going to do something for it. So if it's okay with you, for just a few more minutes, at noon, we're going to have a bell that's going to go off, okay? But Pastor James, do you mind coming up for just a few minutes and saying a little bit more? And if you want special prayer, you're welcome to come up here. But want you to know we're praying for you. And any other pastor, and maybe Pastor James, I know prayer wall with the city church and everything. God bless you.
Thank you. Hey, I just want to invite you to that prayer wall, right? We would be honored. There are people here that would be honored and privileged to pray with you. I love the idea of a prayer wall. I'm so glad that City Church brought that, right? The idea of, here's my prayer request. You know what? I'm going to lay it in God's hands. I'm going to let go of it and just put my faith and trust out there that he will take care of it. I think it would be awesome, and I don't know if this is okay, Mike, Pastor Mike, could we even, like, maybe each one of us go up there and just take a picture of one of those and commit to pray for our brother and sister until God lets us know that we don't have to pray for that person anymore? Wouldn't that be an awesome way to be a community for Christ? Yeah. As you're going, the food trucks are going to be opening here. They might be opened already. Please stay. Spend some time fellowshipping. There's face painting here. Please come over to the prayer wall. Allow us to pray with you. There's some deep things going on that we'd love to be a part of you and share those burdens with you. That's what we're called to do, right? All right. I'm just going to pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for being a God who comes down. Thank you for being a God who recognizes that we were in trouble. Thank you for being a God who makes a way so that we can have our relationship with you restored, Lord. What an honor and a privilege. Father, I didn't get to the second commandment, but that was, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Father, I pray that we would not take on the name Christian. We would not take on the name follower of Jesus Christ in vain, but that we would walk the walk that you call us to, that we would submit our lives to your word, Lord. Don't let us be Christians in name only. Don't let us do this. This community needs the light that comes from you, Lord. This community needs bodies going out into it and sharing the hope that we have. Lord, give us that opportunity this very week to share the good news with somebody, Lord. We love you and we give you praise. Amen. Amen.